You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Michel Garfinkel this hour. He is the founder of the superb Jean-Jacques Rousseau Institute in France, a Shulman Ginsberg Fellow at the Middle East Forum here, a very, very active, prolific writer and commentator on matters involving terrorism and national security and international geostrategy. And Michel, you were talking a bit about the man who was considered to be, I guess, the mastermind of the virulently destructive attacks in France last year, and has got ties to Brussels, which brought down upon the people of Brussels these attacks of this week. Talk a bit more about him, what we know about him, what his personal example tells us about the enterprise that's afoot at the moment, the jihad.
Yes, Salah Abdeslam is Moroccan, of Moroccan origin. He was born in Belgium and he is a French citizen. And he exemplifies the links that exist in Europe between jihadist groups in all countries of the European Union. We may think of French citizens, Belgian citizens, and so on. From the jihadist point of view, there are only warriors of Islam that happen to be European-born and will make use of their European citizenship, either as Belgian, French, or any other European citizenship, in order to fight and destroy Europe as a polity and European civilization as a non-Muslim civilization.
Michel Garfinkel, we are talking about the dangers that not just France, not just Belgium, but Europe, and for that matter, the wider non-Muslim world, known to the Sharia-adherent Muslims, at least, as the House of War. Give us a flavor of how you see that larger sort of pan-European, well, Western civilization under attack, now coming sharply into focus with this particular episode on both sides of the Franco-Belgian border.
Let me first try to, first things first. So let's try to understand what is the view of the world for the jihadists. Their view of the world is that the global world is divided basically between two words. There is the world of Islam, Dar al-Islam, where Islamic law, Quranic law, rules supreme, and there is the non-Muslim world, which resists the spread of Islam and is deemed to be the world of war, Dar al-Harb. And this is not a war like there used to be wars in Europe, for instance. It's not a civilized war. It's a total, absolute war. It's the Manichaean war of good versus evil. And it means that everything is a load along this perception against those who resist Islam. And to resist Islam doesn't mean just to wage war to Islam or to, for instance, ban the Islamic religion. If you simply request Muslim citizens to abide by the law of the land and to admit that the law of the land is to be obeyed first, and then religious freedom is being granted. If you just stick to that position, you are an enemy of Islam according to the teachings of the jihadists.
Now, yes. This is known as fitna, I believe, in their tradition, and it could take any kind of forms. In fact, I think it's fair to say, Michel Garfinkel, that simply speaking as we are doing today can constitute a kind of fitna or resistance to Islam that is intolerable if it's deemed to be harmful to the faith, let alone critical of it. That can be a capital offense. And what you've described really here is a construct, a operating concept, if you will, for the jihadis that justifies all manner of violence on their part, doesn't it?
This is specifically the jihadist approach. But now I would like to stress something which is completely misunderstood in Western countries. It is that there is a debate, actually, among the fundamentalist Muslims of, and there are many different schools and streams among them. There is a discussion on whether jihad should be understood as war, the way the jihadist actually insists it should be, or whether a different and more peaceful approach is feasible as well. What is very very interesting is that the main fundamentalist teachers of Islam nowadays, like Sheikh Qaradawi, who now lives in Qatar, but he is the supreme spiritual leader of the Muslim brothers, the Brotherhood. He insists that Muslims, of course, the aim, the goal of Islam is to spread over the world, because Islam is simply the correct political regime for all the world, and it's a positive religious duty to expand Islam. But what he says is that war is an option, and war as I described it, but then a merciless war, but then there is another option. The other option is, in fact, to live peacefully among the non-Muslims and to spread Islam peacefully. And as long as not just the practice of Islam, but the spread of Islam is accepted and condoned by the non-Muslims, there is no reason to resort to war. So this is what usually is referred to as moderate Islam. In fact, there is a very, very thin difference between the so-called moderate fundamentalist Islam and the jihadist Islam. The only difference is that while jihadists say, let's make war to the West right now, the moderate fundamentalists say, no, we have another option, which is to spread peacefully and to wage war only in specific instances when somehow the West will resist some of our demands. And in the meantime, it's permissible, it's perfectly acceptable to in fact accept lots of social behaviors that normally should not be condoned by Islam. For instance, there is one famous instance where...
Michelle, I want to ask you to pause for a moment because we have to take another short break. This is a hugely important point, the nexus between the Muslim Brotherhood and the violent jihadists of various stripes, many of them spawned by the Muslim Brotherhood. And I want to really explore that with you, because you're right, it's largely ignored on both your side of the Atlantic and ours, and to our great peril, I'm afraid. More of that and so many other topics with Michelle Garfinkel as our hour-long conversation with one of the brightest minds in Europe on all of this joins us here at Secure Freedom Radio. Stay tuned.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.